You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I write about the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago and Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today, we're turning our attention a little bit more north toward the Green Bay Packers. Because as I was out last week with the flu, we missed out on some of the real interesting developments, I'll say, with the Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy drama, I guess, up in Green Bay. And that continued into this week. So I thought it'd be a great opportunity to take a minute here, kind of catch up on what's been going on in Green Bay, maybe revel in their misery a little bit, make sure everybody's on the same page here, but also look at how this will affect the NFC North in 2019, and in turn, of course, the Chicago Bears. So I hope it's not too much Packers talk for you. I think it's very relevant to Chicago Bears fans. And as we get to these parts of the offseason, you know, sometimes we got to go a little bit out of the box here to help us get through these long months. We have plenty more draft talk coming your way, but this might be the biggest story in the NFL right now. And it just so happens to kind of circle in the area of the Chicago Bears here. So we'll start with the Bleacher Report story from Tyler Dunn that kind of laid out the initial opinions from former players about Aaron Rodgers, and then we'll catch up with what Aaron Rodgers had to say in his defense, and then we'll kind of look more specifically at how this affects things moving forward. So make sure you go out and read the Bleacher Report article. I'm not going to rehash the whole thing here, but it basically was a well-written long-form piece by Tyler Dunn, who does a great job for Bleacher Report, breaking down a lot of accusations from former players, former, I guess, anonymous scouts slash coaches slash front office people. That wasn't very clear exactly in the piece who all Mr. Dunn was sort of citing, but his main point was to kind of look at the chaos in Green Bay and how things really did kind of go bad last year. So, you know, there's a lot of quotes from guys like Greg Jennings, JerMichael Finley, Ryan Grant, the running back, you know, talking about Aaron Rodgers' leadership style, how things kind of fell apart a little bit in the locker room, and how, you know, Rodgers and McCarthy had trust issues. I'm not going to rehash too much of it here, but what I do want to do is play a clip of an interview for you. Mr. Tyler Dunn, the writer of the article for Bleacher Report, he was a guest on Locked On Packers, I believe, earlier last week, or was it at the start of this week? I don't remember the exact date on the podcast. But I know some of you guys aren't big fans of Peter Bukowski. There's been a lot of Twitter spats with him among some Bears fans and listeners of this podcast. But the host of Locked On Packers, Peter Bukowski, he does know the Green Bay Packers, say what you will about his Chicago Bears takes. And he had Mr. Dunn on to kind of go a little bit more in depth on the article and add a few things to this discussion about Aaron Rodgers. So I just want to play for you a clip of Locked On Packers with Peter interviewing Tyler Dunn for a few minutes here and adding a little bit more to this story.
Obviously, you are here to talk about the piece that you wrote for Bleacher Report on the fracture between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. And I'm sure most of the people listening have already read maybe multiple times as I have. What has been, you know, it's been a couple days now. What has been the reaction that you've received, whether it's players, coaches, people you talked to for the story, people you didn't talk to for the story, about the story itself?
Great question, Peter. I mean, when the story dropped, I actually heard from three players, prominent players, that didn't want to talk, you know, on or off the record originally. And then they read it, and it was just that might have been the most interesting reaction. There was a longtime starter on those teams that just said, "Hey, looks like you penetrated the bubble." You know, and there's another one that was around for a while that was just like, yeah, I could give you more stories. So I get it. You know, in the aftermath, you're going to hear from Aaron Rodgers' supporters, which is great. I mean, they should speak up. You know, and there's a few that came to his defense, and I'm sure Aaron Rodgers will speak as well. But just, you know, when you're seeking information that players and the team don't want out, I mean, there is that game involved. And the readers, hey, they can trust it, they cannot trust it. That's their prerogative. But I was around for, you know, 4.5 years, and they've kept in touch with a lot of guys and been around the NFL and those players around, and I'm pretty confident in these relationships and these conversations. But, yeah, it's been a pretty interesting 72 hours here.
You mentioned the Aaron Rodgers defenders, and what has been really interesting to me is it doesn't seem like there have been Mike McCarthy defenders other than Mike himself. Was there stuff that, you know, just didn't make it into the piece, or is the consensus more or less that he earned his ticket out the door?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the overriding sentiment from players, coaches, scouts, and it's not even really like, you know, it's not so black and white. I don't think that there's players who just hate Mike McCarthy. I think there's players who say, look, the guy was around for a decade plus. That's really rare. You don't see that often. It ran its course. I mean, Ryan Grant, I mean, I can't thank him enough for his time. I thought he put it best that I liked Mike. He was a good coach when his offense was clicking. It was unstoppable. But after so many years, if you're Aaron Rodgers, the message becomes, quote unquote, white noise. I think that was the case maybe for a lot. And there it's a good question, because the one defensive starter that I referenced in that Mike McCarthy section of the story didn't want his name attached, which I understand, because he wanted to be as honest as possible. He started the conversation by saying, I liked Mike. He was a great coach. And then for an hour, it was like he was breaking down all the reasons that Mike McCarthy kind of sank the ship. And then he like caught himself, right, and he was like, yeah, I guess he is the reason that the Packers kind of plummeted here. And, you know, he's talking about the Seattle NFC Championship game, and his analogy didn't make the story, but he was talking about the movie The Perfect Storm. I don't know how many people saw it, but on how, gosh, who was in it? George Clooney and all those guys are out on a ship, and they're catching all the fish in the world. And he's like, we knew it in that game, even though we were killing the Seahawks, that this was a soft team. I mean, it was who we were. Like, when Aaron Rodgers went down, everybody quit. And eventually that softness would bubble to the surface. Eventually that storm would capsize the ship, and that's what it did with 4 minutes to go. So, yeah, to answer your question, that there were people who supported him, that thought he was a good coach, but I think that everybody, the majority of people involved, would agree it was time. I mean, it was time for everybody to split, and it should have split much, much sooner.
Yeah, I think if you use that NFC Championship game as a touchstone and look at how Aaron Rodgers has played since then, aside from the stretch early in 2017 when Rodgers, before he broke his collarbone, and then the run the table stretch, all the other football that Rodgers has played since that game has really been mediocre. And I think that underscores or perhaps sells your point on this. I want to ask about this because Packer fans have a complicated relationship, as you know, with Greg Jennings and JerMichael Finley because of things they've said in the past.
Right.
You've covered the team. You know that. Did you have any concern? Maybe concern is the wrong word. Any sense about how they would be viewed by fans of this team in particular? Obviously, you didn't write the story just for Packer fans.
Right. No, 100%. I mean, I can't tell you how much I thought about that. I mean, you've covered this team for a while, followed this team for a while. I mean, just like I have, I knew that was going to be the instant dismissal by fans, whatever you want to call it. Like, oh, you know, F those guys. And that's basically what one coach told me that we put in the story when I brought this up. He said, F those guys. Like, screw them. Like, and Ryan Grant didn't use that word, but he pretty much said the same thing. Like, hey, attention's an interesting thing. The way I look at it is Greg Jennings was Aaron Rodgers' number one receiver at the peak of Aaron Rodgers and this Green Bay Packers offense. You know, he was there for 4+ years as the number one guy for Aaron Rodgers. JerMichael Finley was his number one tight end for 4 years. I mean, they saw the rise. They were there at a moment when the honeymoon period that we referenced, when everything seemed to be just perfect, and the confetti seemed to be just sticking to these guys' clothing. I mean, I was there, and you know, myself, other reporters, it's not like we really probed anybody at the time on the relationship, because everybody just assumed it was fine and assumed that Aaron Rodgers was a leader. I mean, how could he not be? Look at the product on the field. And little did we know that there was all of this other stuff kind of brewing in the background. So, I mean, I talked to Greg just about that and said, look, and these, you know what's going to happen. Like, you know that what these fans are going to do when they see what you say, because it's happened before. And that's why I wanted to put that line in there, like that he is self-aware. He gets it. Like, he knows that his Twitter mentions are going to blow up, but he wants to put his name on it, and he feels that he might be speaking for some other people, too, that don't want to put their name on it, and he just wanted to show instead of tell. I mean, that might have been when the light bulb went off in this reporting. When Greg Jennings has taken, you know, 45 minutes to an hour in a conversation at an airport, I could hear the stuff in the background because he wants to talk, and he's bringing up all these examples. Like, he's bringing this to life, and I think he was talking on Fox Sports 1 the other day and even said, look, there's a lot more that I could get into that, you know, for a later date. Look, he left the team in, you know, after the 2012 season, so there's been a lot of football since then. I get it, and I think there are people I talk to that do believe Aaron Rodgers has grown as a leader, you know, that he's improved in that department since then. Still, what I hear, it's not a role he really embraces. I mean, he would just like to play football. I think he would just really like to play, do his thing, let other people worry about the leaders like they did in 2009 to 2012 when they kind of self-policed, as Ryan Grant said, and just play ball. But he can't. He's 35 years old. Everybody's looking up to him.
Again, that was Tyler Dunn with Peter Bukowski on the Locked On Packers podcast. I appreciate Peter for doing that interview and giving us a little bit more information there from the writer of the story that kind of started all of this. Now, he ended up providing sort of that side of the argument, but Aaron Rodgers has come to his own defense since then, talking a little bit more about his side of the story and how he feels. We'll get to that next on Locked On Bears. So again, we're a little bit more focused on the Green Bay Packers today on Locked On Bears, but it's clearly a Chicago Bears connection here. So many years of playing against Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, and so many years of the Packers really enjoying the fruits of that matchup, started to change a little bit more in 2018 as the Packers, I'm not going to call them the big D word, the dynasty, but as the Packers' run came to an end and the changing of the guard certainly occurred in the NFC North this year. And now there's a lot of uncertainty as to where Green Bay stands right now, particularly in relation to the Chicago Bears. But regardless, there's some real public relations battles going on here, and Aaron Rodgers trying to pick up the pieces and clean up the mess a little bit from what happened. Obviously, he's not happy about the article that was written out there. I thought he was maybe a little bit unfair with Tyler Dunn as far as questioning some of his reasoning behind it, but he was a guest on ESPN Milwaukee up in Wisconsin. I believe he did an interview with Jason Wilde and Mark Tauscher, the Wilde and Tausch show. Tauscher was a former offensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers. Jason Wilde, just a reporter and a radio host up there. And as of now, the full interview hasn't even aired fully on the radio, but they played a snippet of it Monday evening, and only an even smaller clip has been released on the internet to actually play for you here. It's only about a minute of a snippet of Aaron Rodgers talking about the article a little bit, but some more of the quotes have been transcribed, which I'll read for you after we hear from Aaron Rodgers, so we can kind of get that side of the story and talk about where things stand now. So first, here's a little bit of Aaron Rodgers defending himself on Monday.
It's ridiculous. It is 100% patently false. So it's either he made that crap up, or what he would probably do as a writer is say, oh, this is my source's problem. They told me something. I talked to Mark last week, and I said, Mark, did you tell somebody about the conversation? He goes, that's ridiculous. And I said, because that's not what happened. And he told, yeah, of course that's not what happened. We had a great conversation, like we always do. So that's just one point, that article, amongst a number of highly questionable things. Not to mention unnamed sources. I mean, put your name onto something.
Again, that's Aaron Rodgers in an interview with Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Radio in Milwaukee. And the Mark he was referring to there was Packers team president Mark Murphy, who one of the quotes or one of the things in the story from Bleacher Report was that, again, someone told Tyler, wasn't Mark Murphy himself, that the Packers president had a conversation with Aaron Rodgers in which he told him that that Rodgers was part of the problem, that specifically Murphy called Rodgers in to tell them who they were going to hire for their head coach. And Murphy made it clear that Rodgers would need to accept the coaching. Quote, don't be the problem, Murphy told Rodgers. Don't be the problem. So Rodgers obviously disputing that and disputing a lot of the reported feud with Mike McCarthy in there. And that audio snippet was all I could get of interview to play for you here, but the quotes written out in the ESPN article from Aaron Rodgers include, quote, this was a smear attack by a writer looking to advance his career, talking mostly with irrelevant, bitter players who all have an agenda, whether they're advancing their own careers or just trying to stir stuff up. This is what happens, is the same tired media folks picking it up and talking about it. They just emphasize their opinions about me already, so the crazy thing is there's super slanted opinions in the piece stated as facts, and then there's quote-unquote facts, which are just outright lies. Rodgers goes on to say, if he really disliked Mike McCarthy so much, why would he resign knowing that if he plays well, then and you know they made the playoffs 8 years in a row, then he would be locked in with Mike and continue to play for Mike if he continued to play well. So he said, you know, if I really disliked him that much, do you think I'd resign? Is the money that important to me? I'll tell you it's not. Quality of life is important. I think Rodgers expressed a couple of regrets in some past things he said, but he kind of said overall, you know, their relationship between he and Mike McCarthy grew year over year. There was a ton of trust. He did respect him. There was going to be times when he makes it tough when he goes outside of the sort of the structure of football plays, but he said, I love Mike McCarthy. He's a great man. He's got a huge heart. Really cares about his players. As far as a player to a coach, it's just two alpha males who are hyper-competitive and love winning and are both a little stubborn. But again, we talked through so many different issues over the years, and that made us a lot stronger. So clearly, Aaron Rodgers, as you would expect, fully denying a lot of the things in the article. And some of the things, you know, he just can't deny. He can't deny players' opinions of him, both named and unnamed, that felt like Rodgers has some entitlement. And, you know, we haven't been able to hear the full Rodgers defense, so I don't want to, you know, start poking holes in the way Rodgers tried to defend himself there, because we're working with not the full information from Rodgers' defense. But clearly trying to stand up for his former coach and, you know, more willing, I think, to take the insults against himself personally, you know, more willing to take those on the chin and not, you know, not make a big deal out of those, but really trying to at least do the right thing in terms of standing up for his friend and not try and have other people's opinions of Rodgers' feelings be portrayed. And I understand that and can respect that, certainly, that Rodgers feels like other people are saying what Rodgers thinks. Other people are telling Tyler Dunn that Rodgers liked X, didn't like X, Rodgers preferred X. And I can see where Aaron Rodgers would want to come out and say, no, those other people can't talk for me. I am allowed to talk for me, and here are the things that I'm saying. Now, at the same time, Rodgers is never going to necessarily say 100% exactly what he thinks, right? I mean, he can't come out and say, yeah, I hated Mike McCarthy. Screw that guy. I'm glad they fired him. But maybe it's possible that he had some of the feelings, and I think he does a good job of, you know, at least acknowledging that there were some disagreements, which, you know, I think every player and coach goes through. And there were some times, I'm sure, when, you know, some of the things that were reported on in Tyler Dunn's story were correct. And that's part of the game of football. I think Earl Bennett, the former Bears receiver, was tweeting about this. Maybe it was late last week. He was talking about how when he was in Chicago, you know, they had an offensive coordinator whose playbook was super easy, and he thought the rest of the league kind of figured it out, and it was really easy for everybody to pick up. And, you know, that when Jay changed something in the huddle and at the line of scrimmage, they did what Jay thought. It was more important to have that relationship with Jay Cutler than the offensive coordinator, especially one that players didn't necessarily believe in. So, you know, Bennett kind of lending credence and, I guess, a Bears perspective on this idea of Rodgers and McCarthy disagreeing. And obviously, as things fell apart in Green Bay, clearly things were wrong in the McCarthy-Rodgers relationship and in the way that the Packers' offense was running. I mean, they were not the same team in 2018 than we had seen in those earlier successful years in Green Bay. Obviously, Rodgers' injuries in 2017 and 2013 were both a part of the problem, but he played all 16 games this past year, and they went 6-9-1, and their offense just really wasn't anywhere near the level we had seen in years past. So the Mike McCarthy firing, I mean, there's certainly merit here, and even Aaron Rodgers isn't trying to necessarily say there wasn't. You know, that's sort of the line he's towing there, right? He's saying Mike McCarthy was a good person. He enjoyed working with him as a coach. And that sort of end of sentence. But there's an unspoken and unsaid additional but there that, hey, you know, something was wrong with the offense. The Packers clearly weren't good enough and were underachieving the talent that they had and the quarterback that they had. And McCarthy needed to be fired in Green Bay. So it's a tricky situation for Rodgers to dance around. It's a tough situation for the Green Bay Packers. I can't say I feel particularly bad for any of them involved. And I think some of the criticisms of Aaron Rodgers, if not most of the criticisms for Aaron Rodgers, are quite warranted from some of those standpoints. But that is sort of the state of the Green Bay Packers. Sure is a better feeling when the shoe is on the other foot from a dysfunction standpoint, isn't it, with the Green Bay Packers there? But still to come on the podcast, we'll look at sort of where things go from here with the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears in the NFC North and how this might play out as we move forward. That's next on Locked On Bears. All is not well in Green Bay. I hope you're enjoying it here, and I hope it's a good enough reason for such a Packers-focused podcast today. Clearly, we wouldn't be talking so much Green Bay Packers and not enough Chicago Bears if it wasn't, I don't want to call it a special occasion, but a special circumstances with all the drama that's going on in Green Bay. And it kind of leaves the Packers in an interesting spot as we talk about how the team is going to move forward and what new head coach Matt LaFleur is working with here with Aaron Rodgers. I believe Rodgers' interview airs here Monday on the same day as the Packers' first meeting, sort of as a team with LaFleur. I think he met with the team on Monday at the sort of that first team introduction, full team meeting as part of the offseason program for teams with first-year head coaches. So the timing there is certainly interesting for Green Bay. And the way I see it right now, there's probably two main ways that this could go. There's kind of a good and a bad where it goes from here for Green Bay. I think one possibility is that this drama and this, you know, Mike McCarthy situation brings the Green Bay Packers together. That, yes, they needed a fresh start. There was a lot of tension between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, and being able to sort of cut McCarthy from that, let Aaron Rodgers loose a little bit, let him get away from that. Maybe it was a toxic situation that was spreading to other places in the locker room, and maybe this is the kind of thing that now without McCarthy, with Rodgers feeling more comfortable again, maybe it can bring the team together underneath a new coach, give everyone a fresh start, give Rodgers a fresh start, give his receivers a fresh start, kind of let everybody hit the reset button a little bit here and say, okay, new coach, new Packers, new team, new season, new direction. let's use this as motivation. It's outside noise. It's reason for people to doubt the Green Bay Packers, to say, oh man, things are going to fall apart there. Everyone's doubting Aaron Rodgers as a leader and as a, you know, as a member of that locker room, and whether there's trust and all this stuff. And maybe all the outside noise and outside pressure can sort of push the Green Bay Packers locker room together, force them to be motivated based off of that, and maybe come together for a stronger 2019 season. I see that as one possibility. The other side of the coin here is the opposite direction, that this offseason drama is just getting started here, and that from here on out, the questions all the time are going to be about Aaron Rodgers as a leader. Every player, when they have their next media availability here for the first time, is going to be asked, you know, did you read the article? What did you think of the article? Have you talked to players about the articles? Have you talked to your former teammates about the article? What do you think about Aaron Rodgers? How would you describe his leadership? And all of a sudden, players, I think, are going to get pretty darn sick of being asked all these questions about Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers' leadership and Aaron Rodgers this and Mike McCarthy that and all this stuff in the past. And players aren't going to like that. And it, you know, as things go on, if anything and everything that goes wrong, it seems like, oh, is this an Aaron Rodgers leadership issue? You know, Packers maybe start the season 1-3 or whatever, lose a couple games. Oh, are the Aaron Rodgers leadership issues back? Or maybe a player has a holdout with a contract, or, you know, some kind of injury situation, or somebody sits out for some reason. Oh, is this because of Aaron Rodgers' leadership? You know, you can see where a lot of different situations down the line, when something goes wrong, maybe you can point it to this drama, to Aaron Rodgers, to questions about him as a person rather than a football player. And that can wear a team down and can hold the team back and kind of allow those issues from the previous regime to linger in here, especially when you add in a rookie head coach in Matt LaFleur, a little bit of a younger guy. And we've seen that younger coaches, you know, when they come into situations that aren't necessarily squeaky clean sometimes in a locker room, sometimes they can have issues corralling those situations and getting everybody to buy into what they're selling. You know, I think we saw Mark Trestman with some of that, although he wasn't so much young as inexperienced as an NFL head coach in that regard. I think of the likes of a Josh McDaniels before, although, you know, he kind of had his own personality issues. And we don't necessarily know what Matt LaFleur is going to bring for the Green Bay Packers in that regard either. But you can see how there might be some uncertainty with a young rookie head coach here, just 39 years old. He's only been an offensive coordinator for a few years in the NFL as well. So it's not like he has this long track record of NFL offensive coordinating to kind of give team, you know, give his players to say, hey, I did this with this quarterback and this with this quarterback and this with this offense, and that's why we are going to do great this season. Players are going to have to buy in and earn that trust of Matt LaFleur. In addition to, while you have all this other drama and such going on, it's not like what Matt Nagy had, where for the most part, you know, you had your quarterback in place, you had the team, you know, continuing to improve and add ascending players and a little bit more of a rebuild to kind of take some of that early pressure off of Matt Nagy. Matt LaFleur comes in with a future Hall of Fame quarterback trending towards the end of his career, trying to do a quick turnaround and get back to the playoffs, get back to winning. Expectations will be high, and it's a lot to ask for a rookie coach once, you know, even before you throw in all this drama with Aaron Rodgers and the previous regime. So you can see a timeline here where things don't go well with this drama. Either way, I think a lot of it ultimately is just going to come down to on-field production, how the Green Bay Packers actually perform this season. You know, some of that, again, comes to Matt LaFleur and his offense and how well he and Aaron Rodgers are going to get along. That dynamic directly shapes how the on-field performance goes. But winning cures so many woes in the NFL. It cures all, some have said. And so if the Green Bay Packers can consistently win games, I think some of the concerns and some of the drama kind of goes to the wayside as players are just able to put it behind them when they can celebrate a win and not have to worry about that stuff. But when they're losing, guys have reasons to complain. Guys don't like the direction things are going on the field, start poking fingers at how things are going off the field, and all of a sudden it can get worse. You know, you glance at the Packers' schedule just real quick. You don't know the order. You just know the opponents. Similar slate to the Bears. A little bit easier because they don't have to play the first place teams, but they still have the Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs, the Los Angeles Chargers as well. And then, you know, guys like the 49ers, the Giants, the Cowboys, the Panthers maybe. I mean, it's not the world's most difficult schedule, but it's not doesn't look like on paper a walk in the park either. So, you know, it's going to come down to what Green Bay is able to accomplish on the field this year. They still have to add some more talent, I think, to this roster. And, you know, they still have the draft to be able to do so. Didn't make a ton of big moves overall in free agency, adding to that pass rush. We're going to go into a little bit more in depth in every NFC North team's additions and changes as the offseason goes on here. But signed a couple of outside linebackers and a little bit of depth with Adrian Amos, of course, in the secondary there as well, but not totally breaking the bank either. Still some real question marks on that Green Bay roster. So I'm not ready to put the Packers right back up at the top of the NFC North anytime soon. I'm going to need to see what Matt LaFleur does. Going to need to see how they overcome a lot of the drama surrounding this team. But it's interesting to keep an eye on, and I think it's fun to have a little bit of schadenfreude here with things going wrong in Green Bay for really the first time in a long time, it feels like, especially with things having gone so poorly for so long in Chicago. I hope you're enjoying this while you can, because you never know how long it's going to last. And I hope it was a worthwhile discussion of Green Bay Packers struggles on the Locked On Bears podcast. If you want to help your fellow Bears fan enjoy in the Packers misery, tell a friend about the Locked On Bears podcast. Word of mouth really is the best way to get some growth for this podcast. Also, make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher. We're on pretty much anywhere you can find your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, like us on Facebook, join the discussion in the Locked On Bears Facebook group as well. So much more NFL draft talk coming your way. Not much more Green Bay Packers talk coming your way, fortunately, but just if you've had a little bit too much Packers in your ear today, I apologize, but just take a second, clear it out a little bit, and bear down.